God is with us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. And He's directing our path. Isn't that right? One day, Smith Wigglesworth was standing at the bus stop. And there was this lady coming to the bus stop, and he was watching this scene as it unfolded before him. There was a lady that had a little dog. And this little dog had followed her away from home and was following her to the bus stop. And she would stop every now and then and say, "Go home, little dog. You can't go on the bus with me. Go on back home, little dog. You can't go home, get on the bus with me." And then the little dog would sit there, you know, and just look and smile at her, you know, and not leave. And she'd turn around and walk on towards the bus stop. And then as she turned and walked on towards the bus stop, the little dog, you know, would get up and just follow her along again. And so the closer she got to the bus stop, the more concerned she got about the scenario, because she knew the dog couldn't get on the bus stop. So right about the time that she got to the bus stop, here come the bus. She turned around where that little dog was, and she said to that dog, "Yet!" You jumped, didn't you? And when she said, "Yet," you know what that little dog did? It tucked his tail and took off home. Smith Wigglesworth let out a yell on the side of that road. He said, "That's the way. You got to do the devil, lady." We're going to preach about tonight how to deal with the devil, demons, and evil spirits. Devils, demons, and evil spirits have no right to rule and reign in your life. They have no right to rule and reign in an area that God has sent you into. But the truth about the matter is, if you do not do something about the devil will rule and reign over your life. He'll rule and reign over your circumstances, and he will rule and reign over areas that God has put you in charge of. But if God sends you somewhere, plants you somewhere, or tells you to go take a piece of ground for him, then you have the authority, you have the ability, you have the anointing to do so, and there is no devil, there is no demon, there is no person that can stop you from accomplishing God's will. Now, when we talk about devils and demons and evil spirits, let's just think about a couple of things here. First of all, you've got some just goofy thoughts and thinking when it comes to the devil. One goofy thought is that the devil does not exist any longer, that he passed away with the last apostle. I wish that was true. The devil is alive on planet Earth. The other question that comes up, with why didn't Jesus get rid of all the devils and demons while he was here on planet Earth? Because it was true that Jesus had total authority over every demon and devil that there was on planet Earth. But the reason that he did not get rid of them is because they have a right to be here for a certain amount or set amount of time. Most people agree that mankind has been given a right by God to rule and reign on this earth for a period of 6,000 years. At the end of that 6,000-year period, then Jesus, the Father, is going to take control again, and he's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years that we call the millennial reign of Christ. And so Jesus did not have the right to run the devil off at that point. Remember, demons, when he cast them out at times, would say to him, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" There is a time coming that the devil is going to be bound and eventually cast into an everlasting lake of fire. But until that time comes, you and I have been delegated the authority by the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with every demon devil that comes along, and you have authority over him. We must take that authority and use it. Let me again share with you another story. We'll get to the Word in just a moment and show you some other scriptures along this line. But Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, one way that he began to understand about the operation and origin of demons, in fact, he used to have four books in print. If you've got those four books about the origin and operation of demons, don't get rid of it. It is a classic in its own time, because they are not in print any longer. And there's reasons that they're not. But if you got them, hang on to them. But Brother Hagin was in the traveling ministry, and he and a pastor were sitting talking one night, and it got late, and they was just sharing, you know, and refreshments with one another, plus sharing the scriptures. And the pastor had a daughter that usually went to bed at a certain time because she had to get up and go to school the next morning. And they were sitting there and got caught up in the course of a conversation. And then the pastor all of a sudden realized that his daughter was sitting there. He said, "Oh, my goodness, honey." He said, "It's time for you to go to bed. You need to get up and go on to bed because you got to get up and go to school in the morning." And she said, "Well, Daddy, aren't you going to come and tuck me in?" Normally his custom was, you know, to tuck her in at night and have prayer with her. And so the pastor said, "Yes." So he stood up to go and tuck his daughter in to go to bed. But as he stood up to go, all of a sudden he just had the inspiration to ask Dad Hagin, "Would you like to us just kneel down right here and pray with her?" And Dad Hagin said, "Yes, we'll do that." So right there, he stepped up and then kneeled down in the kitchen where they were praying at. And he said as soon as his knees hit the floor, he was in the spirit. He said all of a sudden, the ceiling disappeared where the roof would be in this house, and there stood Jesus. And Jesus started to communicating some things to Brother Hagin about the prophetic ministry and some other things. But as Jesus was talking to Brother Hagin, all of a sudden, this little monkey-like little creature, didn't say it was a monkey, but a monkey-like little creature ran in between Jesus and Dad Hagin and started making this racket. Yakety-yak, yakety-yak, yakety-yak. And Dad Hagin said that he was thinking, "Don't Jesus know that I can't hear what he's saying? Why don't Jesus do something about this devil and get rid of him where I can hear what he's saying?" And the little demon keeps saying, "Yakety-yak, yakety-yak, yakety-yak." And then he said not only was he saying yakety-yak, but he started putting out this smoke screen that all of a sudden now could he not only hear Jesus, but he couldn't see Jesus either. And Dad Hagin said he was thinking, "Why don't Jesus do something about this demon? Why don't Jesus do something about this devil? Don't he know I can't hear him? Don't he know I can't see him? And I need to get this information?" And then finally, just out of desperation, Dad Hagin just spoke to that demon. He said, "I command you to shut up and get out of here." And he said, kerflop, that demon hit the floor in the spirit, whimpered like a whipped dog, and ran off. Then Jesus looked at Dad Hagin and said something to him that upended all of his theology that he thought he knew about the devil and demons up to that time. Jesus said these words, and they're still true today. Jesus looked at Brother Hagin and said this. He said, "If you had not done something about that devil," he said, "I could not have done anything about it." Dad Hagin thought that Jesus made a mistake. He said, "No, that can't be true. Jesus said, if you had not done something about that devil," he said, "I could not have done anything about him." And Brother Hagin said to Jesus, "Well, you are going to have to give me chapter and verse about this because I've never heard anything like this. Can't even conceive in my mind that it's true that Jesus couldn't do anything about the devil." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus can't do anything about the devil in your life. But you can. Pastor, Jesus can't do anything about the devil in Cincinnati. But you can. Randy, Jesus can't do anything about the devil that's trying to dominate and control your ministry. But you can. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus can't do anything about the devil that's been trying to dominate your life and control you and steal from you, but you can. Because you have the power over every demon and devil. Jesus showed Dad Hagin. You can get the book, I Believe in Visions. They may have it back here in the store. But by Brother Hagin, and it tells this story, I believe, you can look at it and read it and find every scripture about it. But one thing that Jesus showed Brother Hagin is he took him to Matthew 28 and showed him how that before he ascended up into heaven, he said, "All power and authority is given to me in heaven and earth." He said, "Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature." And another place, you know, it says that these signs in Mark 16, "These signs shall follow them that believe." The first sign that he says that will follow a believer in Jesus Christ is, "In my name you shall cast out devils." Brother Oddie, Jesus can't do nothing about the devil over there in India. But you can. Nathan, June, Jesus can't do nothing about the devil in India, but you can. What's his name, Kali? Is that what you call that devil over there that rules and reigns in that area? Go over there and take over Kali. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, Kali. And you're not going to operate here no more. Because you have that authority. God wants us to come to a place of boldness when it comes to dealing with the devil. And sometimes when you're dealing with the devil, it doesn't necessarily have to be in front of somebody else. Because the world don't understand. When I first was, God started first using me along these lines in prison, I was casting out devils just any and everywhere. They was coming into church, falling down and crying out and all kinds of things. And we just thought it was a game, just fun. But we found out that most people didn't understand. And so I started dealing with the demon-possessed in private areas, especially in the prison, because some of the officers didn't understand either. But you have the authority over devils and demons. And if you'll use the authority that God gave you, you're going to be a success. So I'm going to preach to you tonight about how to stop the thief in your life. Listen, God is not withholding the blessings in your life. God is not doing it. God said He will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. So if He's not withholding them, then who's stopping them? We've got a devil that tries to stand between us and what God is trying to do for us, and only we are the ones that can make the devil get out of the way by standing on the rights and privileges that God has given unto us. Isn't that right? Turn in your Bibles to St. John chapter 10, and we're going to look at a scripture there. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. I'm laughing at the devil. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. St. John chapter 10. Ha, 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 ha. Ha. Ha, ha, ha. I'm not doing that in the natural. That's the Spirit of God doing it through me. Ha, ha, ha. I'm laughing at the devil in Pensacola. Ha, ha, ha. He's tried to overshadow the ha, so monkey, ekedule, bonsta hung, he he shoto mahaki, he he bosta. Mingi he shopu parias the gindi polikini manga soko lingi batbi katambo stan de duriste dambo bangi and diki duste bangi kitsto mikitile kaya for many tremble and quake in fear, waiting for you to arise as champions and draw near and say, you are delivered, you are set free. Through Jesus Christ, you have victory. As you take your place, and stand in that place that I've given to you to stand in the Spirit, you will hear my Holy Spirit. He will speak to you, and as you hear it, declare from your mouth, declare from your lips those things that I've spoken unto you, and as you do, you'll find out that you're going to walk in a new place of victory, and the things that used to hold you back, now you're going to go right on through. And so now all you got to do is rejoice, 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 rejoice. Victory, victory, ha, ha, ha. As I was walking out of my room down the hotel, I got caught up in the spirit. I thought that I was going to be gone. Ha, so do mege niloso monkey. Vaduste vende ekedusta bangadile kubusta danduste dangamosta. For that realm that many of you seek is closer than you think. It's just a step beyond where you are right now. But there's a realm where God lives called the spiritual realm. And as you pull away from the natural and pull away from those things that have been holding you back and gaining the attention over me in your life, you'll find out that you'll begin to walk in a place of authority. You'll begin to walk in a place of my anointing. You'll begin to walk in a place of my power that you can't get to any other way in this hour. So seek my face and give yourself completely unto me, and you'll find out the devil will leave, and you'll walk in complete victory. Ha, ha, ha. Pastor Bob been prophesying this on us. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just going with it. Going with the flow. I told him I done been around him so much, I'm just picking up that anointing. Because really, I know you call him a pastor, and certainly he is, but he's an apostle of God. And I know that. I recognize that. I realize that. I've seen it on his life. You have yet to walk in all that God has called you to. So it's not a time to draw back. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to give in. It's not a time to think, there's nothing else for me to do. No, there's plenty that you're going to do, and you're fixing to walk into it, and God's going to open a new door for you. And I ain't going to be fur behind him. I'm telling you, I'm going to run right through there with him. Woo! Hallelujah. He may be carrying the ball, but I'm going to be following or blocking for him. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because God has called him. God has used him. The devil's trying to kill him. The devil's trying to discourage him. But thank God all of us are going on. This is a time of victory. This is a time of liberty. This is a time of freedom. Why? Because that's what's been prophesied. And that's the truth. Whew. The thief ain't going to stop us. In fact, I think we just changed gears here. Woo! Glory to God. We're changing gears. We're going to walk in something greater. Ha, ha, ha. So, my daily ascension. There's an anointing that we're going to walk in. I'm talking about in this meeting right here. Not in the sweet by and by. But I'm talking about in this meeting. If we'll just give ourselves a little bit more. I know we've been giving ourselves. But give ourselves more to seeking God and flowing with God. There's a tangible. See, there's an anointing within, and there's a hustle. There's an anointing that comes upon you to bring you victory. Woo! Woo! Brother Randy, what in the world's wrong with you? I've been around y'all too long. Woo! Oh! I was walking down the hall of the hotel. Boy, I saw my telekiba to be picked up. And all of a sudden, I tell you the truth about it. I just walked into the Spirit. I mean, just walked in. Took a step. I was turning the corner, and whew, there was God. I met God in the hotel. Let's all go to the hotel. No, God comes to church with us. But I'll tell you how you meet God. You look for him. I mean, God will hunt you down if you go to worshiping him. God seeketh such to worship him as will worship him in spirit and in truth. When you go to worshiping God, God will hunt you down like a hound dog hunts a rabbit. And that's the truth about it. I grew up rabbit hunting. I don't know if y'all have rabbits around up here. I don't think they can survive long, do they? I don't. Reckon, Captain, you reckon they got any rabbits up here? But anyway. We grew up hunting rabbits, and we had some beagle hounds and black and tans and red bone hounds. Some of them younger beagles, you know, that's running around there and all, we'd go hunting. We'd have sometimes 15, 20 rabbit dogs, and they'd get out there barking and snapping and carrying them. And Daddy would tell us boys, he said, don't pay no attention to them. I said, Daddy, why aren't they rabbit dogs? He said, not really. He said, we're training them. He said, watch Lucy. Lucy was a red bone hound that stood about two and a half foot tall. And she had a nose that she'd put to the ground. It sounded like a pepper box. And she'd just sniff all around. Wouldn't never say a word, you know. Wouldn't talk, say nothing. Daddy said, if Lucy ever barks, watch it. There's a rabbit somewhere. All these other beagles around here. There's a lot of folks barking, but there ain't no rabbits nowhere. Lucy, when she barked, she'd bark like this. Oh! Seemed like it'd take her 5 minutes. And I'd say, Daddy, what's she saying? He said, she's reporting there's a rabbit in that field. I said, Daddy, where's the rabbit at? He said, don't know. He said, but if Lucy said there's a rabbit out there, there's a rabbit. And all them dogs had run around Lucy. Just to bark, and Daddy said, don't pay no attention to them. And Lucy would just keep on searching and seeking and hunting. Then all of a sudden, sometimes them rabbits would run in a hole on you. You know, if they had a place to get in. And they would one run in a hole, and Lucy would go up and stand over the hole. Oh! I say, Daddy, what's Lucy saying? She'd say, son, Lucy said there's a rabbit in that hole. I said, Daddy, how do you know? He said, because I've been around Lucy long enough to know Lucy. If Lucy said there's a rabbit in there, she said there's a rabbit in there. Listen, when you start worshiping God, God has got a scent trail stronger than Lucy's. When you get to worshiping Him, all heaven turns loose. Where are they at? There's a lot of gibbering and a barking going on the earth, but where are they at? God says somebody down there is worshiping me. How do you know, Father? I just know from experience. Let's go hunt them down. And then all of a sudden, God shows up in your living room. God will show up in your car. God will show up in your hotel room. You know, this is the day of the supernatural. This is a day that we're walking out of the natural and we're walking into the supernatural. St. John 10, verse 10. Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If you're not experiencing abundant life, it's not what Jesus came for you to have. Jesus wants you to be successful in every area of your life, spiritually, physically, materially, financially, educationally, mentally, emotionally, family, marriage, every area of your life. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So if you're going to successfully deal with devils and demons, the first thing you must understand is who you are. The first thing that you must understand, if you're going to deal with devils, demons, and evil spirits and put them in their place in the name of Jesus, you must understand who you are. So turn to Genesis chapter 1 and let's look at something there. Thank God for Genesis chapter 1. Praise God. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Let's pick up and read again too. It says, let me get over here in Genesis chapter 2. Verse number 7. Says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now what I want to point out to you here in verse number 7 is, said God breathed into man the breath of life. That don't mean that God gave man mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That don't mean that he blowed into him oxygen or air that you breathe. It means that God breathed himself inside of Adam. Then Genesis chapter 3 comes along. God had told Adam and Eve that if you partake of this particular tree, the day that you partake of it, you shall surely die. I was flying along in my airplane several years back. I think I was coming from either Tulsa or Arkansas, about 12,000 feet. As I was flying along, had no autopilot, I was studying my Bible and putting together some stuff that we do for inmates, and we help inmates all over the United States. As I was studying about this, God spoke to me about Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 2. And he said to me, he said, you know, I told Adam that the day that he ate that fruit that he should, or partook of that tree, he shall surely die. I said, yes, sir. I said, that's what you said. He said, well, he died that day, didn't he? I said, yes, sir. I said, he was separated from the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life that you breathed into him. He lost that, and he took on the nature of the devil, and he became a sinner, and he needed to be saved, and death, sickness, and disease, and everything that hurts or destroys came into the earth through Satan because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. He said, that's good, son. He said, but remember, I told Adam, and I told him, the day that you eat of this particular fruit, that day you shall die. He said, I meant what I said. I am not a liar. I said, well, what are you trying to tell me, God? He said, I'm telling you that Adam died that day. I said he did, Father. I said, he died that day spiritually. He was cut off from you. He said, yes, he died that day spiritually. He said, but also he died that day physically. I said, do what, God? He said, he died that day physically, just like he died spiritually that day. I said, Lord, I can prove it to you in the Bible. Not that I'm trying to be so smart, but Adam didn't die that day. So let's go show God in Genesis chapter 5 that Adam is still alive. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 5, says, and all the days that Adam lived were how many? 930 years, and he died. But God said, the day that you eat this fruit, you are going to die. God said to me, that day that he partook of that fruit, he died spiritually and he died physically. I said, wait a minute, God. Let's look and see if we can't find somebody else in here. Verse number 27, the oldest recorded human being on earth that ever lived the longest. Genesis 5:27, and all the days of Methuselah were what? 969 years, and he died. Adam lived to be 930. Methuselah lived to be 900 how many? 969 years. I said, God, I said, he didn't die that day because he lived a long time after he was thrown out of the garden. God said he died that day, son. I said, God, just tell me and I'll believe it. He said, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. He said, no human being has ever lived on this planet for 1,000 years. And the reason that Jesus Christ must return to this earth and live here for 1,000 years is to break the curse that's on this earth. Ha, 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 so go my ED. I said, well, God, you know what you're talking about. We're going to live forever and ever. Now, once it's a speaking, it's already done. In the Spirit, it's already recorded. And I said, all right. But the truth about it is Adam had allowed Satan to become his God. He had no control or dominion over Satan, not in his position. But Jesus came to rescue Adam, to rescue you and I from the fallen state that we were in. In one place in the Bible, it speaks of Jesus as being the second Adam. The first prototype of the human being failed. He crashed. He didn't succeed. He blowed it. He missed it in the garden. But there was another prototype of the human being that God wouldn't satisfy. God was going to send someone, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, and he was going to reestablish, reconnect, reunite man with the Spirit of God again so man could again be in the likeness and image of God. Where's the first time that it ever happened in the Bible that man was reunited with God? John chapter 20. St. John chapter 20, Jesus appears to his disciples after he'd been told Mary to tell his disciples that I'm going to come and I'm going to appear to them. St. John chapter 20, verse number 19. It says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Verse 22. And when he had said this, what did he do? He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye what Adam lost in the garden. That's the way you could say it. Receive ye that. He breathed on them. That don't mean he gave a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. That means he breathed into them and they became born again. So in order to deal with the devil, demons, or evil spirits, what must occur? You must be born again. Because when you're born again, the life and nature and the ability of God is inside of you, and the devil has no more right or authority over you in your life. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Let's look at another scripture along these lines. What are we going to do? We're just going to flat run the devil off wherever we go. That's what we're going to do. Jesus had sent 70 of his disciples out on a missionary journey. He had anointed them with the Holy Ghost and with power. They came back to give him a report. And verse number 17 speaks of the testimony they gave. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power, you could say authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Turn to Mark chapter 16, unless I quoted it a while ago, but let's just look at it and see what the Bible has to say. You got authority over the devil, demons, and evil spirits. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. What's the first sign? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How are we going to cast out devils? In the name of Jesus. Like what Brother Hagin says. He said, you don't have to go around hunting the devil. There'll be enough of them hunting you. So when you come in contact with one, you just know what to do with him and put him in his place. So I ain't talking about becoming devil conscious or devil kooky. But the truth about the matter is this, simply, that if we are going to have success, if we're going to take things for Jesus Christ, and if we're going to be victorious in our own life, then we're going to have to be established in the truth that we must deal with the devil and every evil spirit in the name of Jesus, and that we have the authority to do so. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read another scripture there. I know all of you are familiar with them, but we're putting you in remembrance of those things that you know. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4. And let's read the scripture that you know of there. Faith comes by what? Hearing. James chapter 4,
Verse number 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The first step we take is submitting to God, and then we can resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Turn over to 1 Peter, I believe it is, chapter 5, and let's read what it says there. First Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, which means be aware, be alert, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, which simply means tests and trials, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Notice what he said, be sober, be vigilant, and resist him steadfast in the faith. So we have the authority, we have the ability, we have the power over every demon, devil, and evil spirit that there is on this planet. But there's some things that I've learned about dealing with devils and demons and evil spirits. In fact, I learned a lot of these things just being in prison because of have to. You know, when you get locked up with a devil, and I was locked up with a devil and couldn't get out, I had to learn some things about dealing with devils and demons and evil spirits. One of the things that the Holy Spirit had me do just to build faith in me is, and I didn't even understand it, didn't know why I was doing it. It was just me and the Holy Ghost. But he had me saying this for about 3 months. I cast out devils in Jesus' name. 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 You know, telling how many times I said that out of my mouth over a 3-month period just by the unction or intuition of the Holy Spirit. Didn't know that to the end of that 3 months that I was going to meet a real devil. And it wasn't going to no longer be a confession, but it was going to be a devil at the end of that confession. And God was trying to get me ready. And so I was just saying, I cast out devils in Jesus' name. Now, that does not mean that I was believing to meet a devil to cast out. I didn't even know what I was doing. My natural mind, it was the Spirit of God leading me to cast out devils. And also, at the same time, God began to talk to me about this. And this is something that he taught me about dealing with devils and demons. Now, this may seem far out and far-fetched, but believe me, it's biblical. You'll never have no more authority over the devil than you have over yourself. And that'd be point 2 in our sermon tonight. You will never have no more authority over the devil than you have over yourself. That makes your mind expand when you think of that. I said, you'll never have no more authority over the devil, demons, or evil spirits than you have over yourself. True spiritual authority begins with you. True spiritual authority begins with you. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of you to change you. And if you are not being changed by the Holy Spirit, you'll never walk in the greater things or deeper things of God. The devil will constantly beat you over the head with guilt, shame, and accusations because of your failures to walk in the revealed will of God, which is His Word. Now, on the other side of that, there is the mercy of God. There is the grace of God, where God sometimes allows us to operate, in fact, probably most of the time, where we could never operate without His mercy and grace anyway. But there is a truth that we must walk in certain established facts that the Bible says we're to walk in if we're going to be a success. So the Lord began to show me about dealing with devils and demons and evil spirits. You'll never have no more authority over the devil than you have over yourself. Let me say that this way. If you can't make yourself obey God's word and shut up and sit down and behave, what makes you think you're going to make the devil obey it? That's why there's a lot of binding, releasing, puking, and carrying on in the body of Christ and very little things happening. You know what I'm talking about? And there's been some error in this area. But true spiritual authority begins with you. So, at the end of this 3 months of dealing and with myself and God working on me, and didn't say I was walking in perfection, didn't say I'd arrived by any means, I'm saying I cast out devils, I cast out devils. All of a sudden, April the 5th, 1984, I turned 30 years old that day, I was standing out behind the prison praying, had been fasting and praying and seeking God, and the Holy Spirit came upon me. And the anointing of God came upon me, and He showed me my future. I mean, in a split second, not all of it have I walked in yet. Why? Because I hadn't qualified yet. You grow in things. You don't do it all overnight. Brother Hagin has said that he's doing things today that he saw 50 and 60 years ago. But I saw myself doing some things, saw myself going to places, saw myself ministering to groups of people right up behind that prison. I was locked in there. But also at the same time, after the heaviness of this anointing lifted, I had been witnessing to a guy in this prison for about 5 months. He was involved in homosexuality. He was filled with hatred, and he lied all the time. I was trying to get him saved. I had an intuition, unction, get him saved. I was witness to him. He would laugh and lie and, you know, just call me all kind of things and hated everybody. But God just kept sending me back to him. This day, after I had this experience, this guy come walking around the corner. This had never happened to me before that time. I looked up to look at that guy coming towards me, and the Spirit of God spoke up inside of me, and he said this: that man is possessed with a homosexual spirit. He said he's also got a lying spirit and a spirit of hatred tagging around in his life, and he said, I want you to cast that devil out of him. I said, do what? You know, I read about Brother Norval Hayes doing it, and Brother Hagin doing it, and everybody else doing it, but I ain't never cast out no devil before. I said, God, I said, I don't know how to cast this devil out of this guy. I don't know what to do. He said, walk with him. And as I began to walk with this guy, I began to talk to him, and the Lord began to show me the difference between this guy's personality and the demon that actually possessed him. Only one evil spirit possesses a person, but when the doors open in that person's life, other demons can operate through that person at will. So I was walking along with this guy, and the Lord was showing me the difference between the devil and his personality. And I said, his name was Robert. And I said, Robert, I said, I know what's wrong with you. He said, you do? He said, I wish somebody could help me. He said, I'm in a mess. He said, you know, I used to serve God. I used to walk with God, and I backslid. And that's how I got in trouble, and I got in prison. And I said, well, I know what it is. I said, it's an evil spirit. And I said, that is what's got to be cast out of you. I said, do you want that thing to come out of you? He said, yes, I want freedom. If somebody wants freedom, you can give it to them in Jesus' name. So I said, let's go to the chaplain's office. And so I went to the chaplain's office, and I stood him outside, and I said, chaplain, he was a good spirit-filled man that believed in casting out devils and laying hands on the sick and all. And I was an inmate pastor. I said, chaplain, I said, I got a man out here that the Lord spoke to me about to cast the devil out of him. He said, what's his name? I said, it's Robert so-and-so. He said, my Lord, if he's got one devil, he's probably got 40. He said, you've been dealing with him for 5 months. He said, I've been dealing with him for 5 years. I said, well, chaplain, the reason I come, I said, I want you to help me cast the devil out of him. He said, God didn't tell me to do it. He told you. And I said, well, look, I've never done this before. I don't know what I'm doing. And I told him that I'd been saying I cast out devils in Jesus' name for about 3 months, 90 days, you know. I'd been saying that. And he said, son, if the Lord told you to do it, he'll give you the ability. I said, well, chaplain, I said, where am I going to do it at? He said, I'll tell you what, I'll let you use my office, and you can bring him in here, and I'll go outside and stand outside the door and watch for the officers to come where they won't lock you up because they thought we was crazy, you know. And so I said, well, all right, chaplain. I said, but first, let me go down in the dormitories in the prison here and get some of my, I think you call them ushers here, pastor. We had bouncers. It was a little different. We threw people out. You shook them down at the door and made sure they didn't have a shift, shank, or knife, what you'd call it, killing somebody to come to our church. And so we would actually ask people not to come to our church services because they didn't all come for the right reasons. And so he said, wait a minute. He said, you call that guy in here first. So I called him in. Robert, chaplain wants to talk to you. He said, Robert, he said, you know that you hadn't liked me since you've been here. And he said, I ain't got nothing to do with this. He said, but do you want to be free? He said, yes, chaplain, I want to be free. He said, well, this is the plan. He said, we're going to let Randy pray for you, and y'all can be here in my office. I'm going outside. I'm not going to have anything to do with it because this guy hated the chaplain. And he said, but do you want to be free? He said, yes. He said, all right, you sit here and wait, but we're not holding you against your will. You can leave anytime you want to. He said, no, I'm going to wait. So I took off, and I ran looking down through the chapel, I mean, through the, not through the chapel, but down through the prison, and I got down to the dormitory, and I found Charlie. I said, "Charlie, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm just down here reading my Bible." I said, "Come on." I said, "Where's Dixon at?" Y'all remember who Dixon was? Dixon was a Christian weightlifter in my church. He could bench press 400 pounds and not blink an eye, praying in the Holy Ghost. And he had a lot of rough edges around the sides, and I was looking for him because he just had a rough, I mean, he loved God with all his heart, but he come from a rough, tough lifestyle. He was in for murder, had a life sentence, but had got gloriously born again. And if he was witnessing to somebody and he didn't have their full, undivided attention, you've heard of the right hand of fellowship. Well, he would give them the right hook of fellowship and whop, knock them out and jump on top of them and start telling them they need to get saved. Well, the guards didn't want to lock him back up in solitary confinement because he had changed dramatically. And they'd come get me, "Preacher, come get Dixon. He's saving another one over there." Dixon called to save him, you know. He said, "He's saving another one. Go over there and get him in such and such a dormitory." And I'd run in there, and Dixon would be sitting on top of him, not hitting him, but holding him down, telling him how Jesus would save them if they'd only believe and quit doing all them things they was doing, you know. And I'd go to him, and I'd say, "Dixon, bless God. I said, the Bible says to pray for them, to say all manner of evil against you falsely for his name's sake. It don't say to knock them down." He said, "Bless God, it says in the book of Job, to save some, it's snatching them out of the fire." He said, "I'm just knocking the fire out of them is all." So, you know, he had kind of twisted theology, but I'll be honest with you now, he brought more people to my church and got them saved, whether they wanted to or not, than any other church member. So he, some of them it stuck on, some of them it didn't. And so I found Dixon where else but on the weight pile. And I said, "Dixon, what are you doing? What does it look like?" He was short, matter of fact. He said, "I'm pumping iron." I said, "You want to help me cast out a devil?" I said, "I need some help." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Where are we going to do it?" I said, "Up in the chaplain's office." And before I could stop him, he leaped up off of that bench and he took off running across the prison yard. I started having visions of what was going to happen. But he got there before I did. I started yelling, "Dixon, wait! Dixon, stop! Dixon, wait! I'm trying to catch him. Stop! Dixon, wait! Dixon, stop!" Finally, about 75 yards away from me, 25 yards away from getting in the building where he needed to be, he stopped, turned around, put both hands on his hips, said, "Come on here, let's get it over with." I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "We're not going to beat the devil out of him." I said, "We're going to cast the devil out of him in Jesus' name." And Dixon said, "Bless God, I'll give it to him any way he wants it." I said, "I know that." So I went and I hooked my arm in his and he drugged me along and we went to the chaplain's office. Charlie was already there. Chaplain said, "All right, boys, here you go." So he stepped outside the door of the chapel, of chaplain's office. And he said, "Boys," he said, "if y'all get too loud," he said, "you know, the warden's office is just through this block wall over here." He said, "They'll hear y'all." And he said, "If anything comes up," he said, "I'll try to keep the officers and the warden off of you as long as I can, but it's every man for himself if the warden comes." I said, "All right, chap." I said, "You hot rail for us." Hot rail means watch for the man. Those who's been in jail don't look so sanctified, you know. Oh, yeah, that's like, what is that? You know, hot rail means look for the man. He's coming, you know. And so we got inside, and we didn't really know what to do. We set Robert down in the chaplain's desk chair behind the desk and just kind of turned it around. And I stood in front of him. I said, "Now, Robert, you got to want to be free." I knew that much. I said, "What do you want?" He said, "I've got something in my life making me do things I don't want to do, and I'm tired of it, and I want to be free." The moment he said that, I said, "In Jesus' name, you homosexual spirit, you lying spirit that's been tagged around his life, and you spirit of hatred, come out of him in Jesus' name." And I said that real forceful again, you know, and all of a sudden he started kind of weeping and crying and things. And I thought, man, this is easy. You know, he's already ready to get saved and everything. And I said, "Well, now we got to get him saved." I said, "Robert," I said, "now you need to pray." And I mean, this is after saying this a couple of times, you know. I said, "Robert, let's pray and accept Jesus into your life." And I said, "Now say this after me. Say this, say this." And I'd say to tell him to say something. He said, "I can't." He said, "I want to, but I can't." Then all of a sudden, his facial features contorted. And he changed the way he even looked. And this voice came up out of him. And this is what it said. "I'm a controlling demon over this prison. And you don't have the authority to cast me out. You'll have to come back when you get more power." I thought, oh my God, what have I got into now? What have we done here? I turned to look at Dixon and Charlie, and their expressions were as if to say, which way do you want us to go, Jack? We're going. And I was gearing up with my mind to hook it up with my tongue and tell them, let's get out of here. We'll come back when we get that power he's talking about. But inside of my spirit, where the Holy Ghost lives, there was a volcanic eruption seemingly beginning inside of me. And these words flowed up, and I probably could have suppressed them. It'd have been hard. But they come flowing up out of my inside, not out of my head, but my heart, out of my spirit. And I found myself, to my amazement, shouting, come out of him, you lying devil, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When I did that, the Holy Ghost fell in that room, and every light in that prison went off. Like somebody cut the main power switch. And I was standing there because immediately we have to be locked up in our cells because the security of the prison a lot is determined by the electrical current that's flowing through locks and things. So they have what they call lockdown. So I knew immediately that lockdown was going to take place. It was a beautiful, sunshiny day. The weather wasn't bad. No weather reason why that the power should fail. In fact, let me go on and tell you this. Mr. Wingard, that was the free world man that was over the electrical department, and I was on the electrical crew, inmate electrical crew, and the plumbing crew. He told me this the next day. The power was off for approximately 2.5 to 3 hours before it came back on. They could find no reason why the power went off. We've got a big diesel engine that automatically comes on at the event of a normal power failure that supplies emergency electricity to the prison. That thing never failed one day prior to that day, nor any day after that day, the entire time I was in prison. That diesel generator engine came on, the power of the generator ran about 10 or 15, 20 seconds and quit. You could hear it try, it's electrical start, you know, automatic. It tried to come back on again, run about 25 or 30 seconds and quit, and then it just kept trying to start and kept trying to start till the battery went dead. And you can hear all this while I'm in this room. And I'm standing there wondering what's going on. And immediately, you know, you can hear them on these battery-powered bullhorns telling all the inmates, go back to your cell, go back to your dormitory. The lockdown, that's what's going to happen. Mr. Wingard said they call the free world, well, we call it free world. Free world is anybody outside the prison. Power company in. And the power came down the pole, came down to the line, came through the transformers, went in the powerhouse in prison, came to the top of the power box, they flipped every switch, every breaker, changed every fuse, and they could not get the power to flow through that box. And I said, Mr. Wingard, how did the power come back on? He said, we don't know. He said, all of a sudden, it just started. I didn't tell him what I'd found out the day before. But as I was standing there in this room, and listen, you can't build a doctrine on this, and you can't build doctrines on experiences. You got to stay with the Word of God, and you don't try to have experiences. You stay with the Word of God. But the Lord said to me in that chaplain's office, he said, the devil has turned the power off in this prison. He said, there's a war going on against the power of God and the spirit of the devil. He said, you go ahead and cast the devil out of that boy, and he says, it's going to start a wave of revival in this prison like you've never seen or known in your life. My immediate response was, Lord, how can this be? How can this happen? The chaplain was a man of God like your pastor. He didn't know what the Lord had said to me. He stuck his head in that door. He said, Randy, the Spirit of God just spoke to me, told me there's a controlling demon operating through that man. And he said that the devil has turned the lights out on this prison. He said, you go ahead, cast the devil out of him. And he said, I'll keep the guards off of you as long as I can. They're coming to lock us down, you know. So that encouraged me. And I turned back to this guy that was demon-possessed. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you lying devil, come out of him in Jesus' name. He started growling. His eyes started rolling. He started vomiting up something. Dixon that was with me, he just went wild. He just reached over there and grabbed him and picked him up and shook him like a bulldog with a bone and swung him back in that chair and said, come out of him, you lying devil. And I knew one of two things was going to happen. Either the devil's going to come out by faith in the Spirit of God or Dixon was going to whoop him out. One of the two. And about that time, I didn't care which way it happened. I was just wanting to get this thing over with. But in a matter of a few moments, Robert throwed up both hands and said, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. We said, accept Jesus. And Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. We laid hands on him, and he began to speak fluently in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave him utterance. He was totally filled with the Holy Ghost about this time. An officer run into this room where we was at. The chaplain was trying to keep him out. He run into this room, and he seen Robert staggering around. He was filled with hatred, this guy named Robert. Now he's filled with love. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. He leaped around this officer's neck and kissed him on the cheek and said, I love you with the love of the Lord. He said, oh, my God, get him away from me, knocking him back with his stick. He said, my God, chaplain, you ought to be ashamed of yourself giving these boys this prison homebrew and this prison wine up here in this chapel, because this guy was drunk. Robert was drunk. And I said, no, sir, the chaplain hadn't given us anything. I said, this is Holy Ghost wine that come down from heaven, and that has changed this man's life. And he'll never be the same. The glory of God came. We finally got him to his dormitory. And the power come on, like I said, later that evening. And the next morning, he slept in a dormitory of about 50 guys. And the next morning, one guy that came to my cell block, into my cell, when they opened up the prison, they said, what did y'all do to Robert? I said, what do you mean? He said, he's crazy. I said, what do you mean crazy? He said, he was singing songs last night about, I love the warden. And I said, what? And he said he was talking in all these languages, and he just scared everybody in the dorm so bad, they got up and sat around the walls because they thought he'd done lost it, and he would stab them in their sleep or something. God said it was start of a wave of revival. I think Robert made the 11th inmate that was in our little inmate church. God began to move in that prison. And when he did, that was on a Tuesday. This happened a Tuesday evening. By Saturday, this very same week, I was preaching to over 75 born-again, Spirit-filled inmates that did not have jailhouse religion, but they had Jesus Christ in their heart, and they'd been set free. Many of them we cast devils out of. Our little chapel area, which is a visiting room, wouldn't seat all of us to have church. So they let me, I asked the captain of the guard, and he let me go out on the prison recreation yard. And I put my back in a corner with under a gun tower. And I was preaching to them men out there on the prison recreation yard. And God began to move. You know why he began to move? It's because God showed us that we had authority over the devil. And revival broke out. Your pastor's pastor that's in heaven now, Dr. Summerall, was sent to the Philippines, I believe it was, remember, to start a church over there. And many days he preached just to him and his family, but God sent him there. And one day this girl in this nation began to be attacked by this creature that nobody could see. It would bite her and claw her, and she would bleed. And they had priests that done all the riots that you do to try to get rid of the evil spirits. And one day somebody knew about Dr. Summerall and talked him in to go into minister to this girl. They had her locked in a cage, and he went up there and he commanded that devil to come out of her and leave her alone, and she was totally set free. And God began to move. The mayor of the city, the way I understand it, was so moved by this, he come to Dr. Summerall and said, what is this? And Dr. Summerall said, what? I want to do something. And the mayor said, you can have anything you want. He said, I want the city square. And he set it up, and he let Dr. Summerall preach right there in that city. And he built a church because he bound the devil. And if there's anything that we need to understand, is not to become devil kooky or devil conscious, but also come to an understanding that we're not afraid of the devil, and we're going to walk in the power and the anointing of God, and we're going to bind the devil and command him to stop his maneuvers, and we're going to take Pensacon and the rest of this area for Jesus, and there ain't no devil going to stay around here and rule and reign. They ain't no devil going to stay around and rule and reign at your house. When you go home tonight, you go through the front door, and if the devil's sitting in your lounge chair, you kick him in the rear end and take him out the back door. Don't let him stay at your house. Don't let the devil camp out where you're at. You get rid of him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, anything that hurts or harms or brings sickness on you is the devil. It's not God. But you have authority over the devil. Use your authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will always be a success, and the devil cannot rule or reign over you, nor defeat you, nor steal from you. Command him to take his hands off your money. Command him to take his hands off your family. Command him to take his hands off your children. Command him to take his hands off your job. Command him to take his hands off your community. Command him to take his hands off your mind. You must do so. If you don't do it, it won't be done. Again, let me close with this. Dr. Hagin said this. You don't have to go hunting the devil. There'll be enough of them hunting you. But there's a truth. When you meet him, you've got to deal with him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you.
I know you were blessed by this message. If you would like to receive more information about Randall Greer Ministries, or if you'd like to receive our free newsletter, just let us know. We'd be happy to send it to you. Just write us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 2227, Owosso, Oklahoma 74055. Or you can contact us at our website, www.rgm.me. And remember, God is always with us.